Lisa, can I have the roll call, please?
Burt?
Here.
Kepler? Ormsby?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the meeting of June 20th, 2018.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the meeting of June 20th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for July 18th, 2018. I see a few of you in the audience, not a big crowd, but we attend to matters relative to site plans, zoning, and such. And at the appropriate time, I will recognize you in the audience if you have input, which we would love to hear. And you would go back to the podium at my right and your left back there and state your name and interest in the case. And with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, first case here we have is a rezoning or a parcel that is off of 53rd Avenue. And this is down Pandit Drive, and you have Ontario Drive, and you also have a means of access over here that'll bring you through to Ontario. The location for the rezoning is under a designation of land use of urban medium intensity, and that permits the C2 petition in this instance for this site that is right in this vicinity. Essentially, we're looking at this lot here, the shops of the Woodlands, lot 6. And the business that is being proposed is a veterinary clinic. This gives you a concept of the layout of the building right here with the parking here and means of access from Ontario through lot 5 into lot 6. And of course, we have to make sure and ensure that there are those easement arrangements between the two lots that allow for the cross easement travel of traffic. This is the concept that is being brought forth to us, is the structure for that particular building and how it should look. And we have attached certain conditions to the site. So this is a conditional zoning, 7 conditions that the developer has agreed to. And essentially, we are looking at approximately 5 to 6 employees, I believe, at this site, but essentially the first condition, number of employees, no boarding of animals, no animals, runs are allowed on the outside of the structure, and then the surgical animals will only be let outside for bathroom purposes, and then we have removal of any animal waste immediately. Developer agrees to the basically the standards that were in the neighborhood commercial section of 2015 premiering Bettendorf comprehensive plan. And then we go to the final condition that if any of these conditions do change or there is a violation, the zoning shall revert back to the C1 neighborhood commercial district from what was the C2 community commercial district. Staff in reviewing this rezoning proposal would make a recommendation for approval with the conditions that are in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg, appreciate that. Any further comment since the publication from staff on this matter?
Thanks to Chris Curran. He's worked closely with us on this. By placing these conditions on the conditional zoning, we felt that it meets the description of the C1 neighborhood community, or excuse me, neighborhood commercial district. It meets the intent of that by limiting it as much as we're going to limit it. And that if any time this changes ownership or usage or anything like that, we're assured that it goes back to the C1 so that this will not intensify with any other type of use or an expansion of this use for that matter. And the developer is very much going to see to it, as you saw from the elevations, that it's matching the rest of the development around there. And I don't know, Chris, if you had anything further.
Yeah, thank you, John. I
We did look at this carefully. We looked at it from the perspective of wanting to ensure that there's not an illegal spot zoning situation. I think with the conditions, with looking at the case law and how spot zoning is defined, the fact that there's a reasonable basis for making the distinction and for adding the conditions, and that it fits the comprehensive plan, we feel that this is an appropriate request.
Okay, thanks. Questions from the commission on this matter?
Is this tenant the only tenant in the building or owner of the building, of that building?
Ryan Wood Miller is the developer, general contractor. It would be the only tenant in the building.
So right now, I know we're not at the site plan stage, we're only talking about zoning, but Craig mentioned that the access to lot 6 as proposed on what we're shown is going to come through lot 5?
It can either come through lot 5 or just to the left of lot 5 between the detention area on lot 6.
Right now, there's common ownership of lot 5 and lot 6.
Correct.
Okay.
And we have cross easements designed for that whole area using parking and everything else.
The other question I had about the conditions, Chris, were just, you've got, apparently there's an anticipation that there'll be surgical animals there, but you say no boarding of the animals is allowed. What if a surgical animal needs to spend a night?
I think that from a boarding perspective, it was more of a commercial boarding situation. I believe certainly there might be instances where an animal that had surgery performed upon it would be there overnight, but it's not a situation where we've seen in other circumstances where a vet clinic allowed boarding of animals and that they needed to be let out, you know, periodically, where there would be barking. I mean, this is a surgical situation where I think that those animals would not be causing issues in the surrounding area. So I think boarding meant a commercial boarding, somebody's going away for the weekend and wanting to have their dog stay there. This is, if there was a surgery, they may be there overnight, was my understanding.
Yes, and I know the perhaps the doctor. That was kind of the laser focus of us wanting this to be a conditional zoning only, so that we didn't have that conflict with the surrounding neighborhood.
So doctor, could you explain what sort of boarding from your perspective would you see, if any? It's not allowed, but would there be animals that had surgery performed that might be there overnight?
Sure. My name is Matt Nelson. I'm a veterinarian purchasing this facility or this land to develop. Surgical boarding, I do some more advanced orthopedic type procedures that do require overnight stays. Those dogs are still under some pretty heavy pain medication, and so they're pretty quiet, and we might take them out. Of interest to me with this facility. Worst comes to worst, if there are cases that need to stay, hospitalized cases, just transfer them to the emergency clinic down here on, I think it's State Street here in Bettendorf for overnight care, and then transfer them back to our facility in the morning.
So maybe we can just insert the word commercial in there. No commercial boarding is allowed. That might clarify it.
That's a fair clarification. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm more than comfortable with that.
Others on the commission?
Businesses you have going in there around in that area?
Right now we're working with a Genesis to go in there. And then a few others that kind of undisclosed at this point.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. A couple questions for you. So, I know you're not at a site plan stage, but a couple questions. So, will the access be opened to the south to connect with Pandit Drive once this is developed or no? Because I think it's barricaded off now.
Yes, it's temporarily barricaded off. It will be. It's the city required us to have that through access.
Okay. And then from a disposal standpoint, animals pass away. Do you have any particular procedures, anything that you deal with and with that regard?
Yeah, I've got a clinic in Geneseo, Illinois, in the local funeral home there. They come and pick up deceased animals and cremate them, and we'll send the ashes back to the owners if they like, and if not, they dispose of the ashes there. They're really timely. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's companies over here in the Quad Cities that do the same, but I would really utilize their services just because they're there really quick.
Okay, great.
A year
Thank
would be
you.
A half an hour.
Yep. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? No? We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-061, subject to staff recommendations and that change in wording.
Addition of the word commercial to wording, yeah.
I'll second that.
Okay, great, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-061, subject to staff recommendations with the one modification of the addition of the word commercial regarding boarding. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-061 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we have an area that is intended to be rezoned from A1 to R2, which we just got done looking here at this particular lot. This is within the Woodlands subdivision area. This area has yet to be preliminarily platted, and as part of the condition, we want to make sure that this area does eventually get preliminarily platted in its entirety before any final plat is brought forward. Petitioner wants to go to single family unit designation under the ULI. The R2 zoning is permitted for that particular location. This will give you an idea of the layout that is proposed as a concept with single family lots, and this exhibit here shows the actual area to be rezoned. Staff in reviewing this proposal, because it's congruent with what has already occurred throughout these areas, indicates that it's going to be the same type of zoning and single family development that we've seen already. We would move for approving the rezoning request with the conditions that are in the report. I would ask if there are any questions.
Thanks, Greg. And to staff, any updates since the publication regarding this matter?
Yep. The only thing I would add is, and I know this has been an issue in the past routinely with the R2 and new developments under the old ordinance, it specifically said that the R2 was reserved for the older residential areas of the city. And that was a matter of considerable discussion when we adopted this new ordinance, and that was purposely taken out because of this new urbanization feel where we thought the trend was going to the smaller lots, and people didn't want to necessarily have these much larger lots, yet they wanted to be in a new residential area and a new development. And that's why that change was made. So it is appropriate, and it even talks to the fact that it is kind of useful either as an R1 or an R2 throughout for single family.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, comments or questions from the commission?
The lot to the north, what is that currently zoned? Is that ag?
Still A1.
Others? Anyone in the audience was there? No, Scott? No.
I just have a comment. This is Lindenwood all over again. Just a few years down the road. I'm sure this fits in everything we're doing, but you're going to have commercial in the back door or out the back door of these houses, most likely.
The R5 right there, that section in front, next to it.
Well, that, for example, that corner, that's currently held by, is it Genesis? Or Genesis owns that corner, so you can make assumptions. If it were to be developed, it could be a medical facility of some type. But your point's a fair one, that this does, as it moves north, approach commercial. I know we've got the buffer with the multi-family that's being built there now, but the other sections will definitely back up to commercial.
I believe Genesis has held this property for ever since I've been here.
Long time.
Yes.
Can I ask a question about the our new ordinances? I know during the comprehensive plan, we talked about juxtaposition of higher density uses with lower densities, and it was, I think we talked about that the higher density uses had the obligation to provide the buffer to the, you know, whoever was the second.
You're right.
Coming in, so you know, there should be, whoever develops north of this parcel is going to have to consider buffering that would be acceptable to us before they can get much further.
I believe there's already a berm that's been placed up in this area here, separate the two different uses.
I'm talking more about,
I know, right, when you're talking here, this is under a separate ownership. We can't really anything now.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Reed Windmiller, Windmiller Development. We actually have been working with Genesis the entire time, and we have a shared berm that runs the entire length of the property line between us, and we're happy with them as a neighbor. We don't see them as an issue. We know what they're going to put in there when they do eventually do it, and we don't find that as much of an issue for that area.
What kind of elevation is that berm, Reed?
What now?
What kind of elevation do you have in that berm?
We're going to have it probably 12 to 15 foot with trees on top of it.
Okay, thanks. Paul, do you have a follow-up?
No, no, just thank you.
Anyone else on the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18. Which one are we at? 18065.
Yep.
Subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18065, rezoning, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Greg?
This next case is one dealing with subdivision. This is R3 right here, A2 here, and it's Cottage Grove Edition. You can see that there is a substantial 100-year floodplain running through here, and that also this area right here to the south is all floodway, so there's no fill whatsoever permitted in that area. Originally Lewis First Edition, where you have a private property owner here and then this is split out, and then the proposed preliminary plat went through and this area here then became designated as the R3 area with two family duplex here, and the remaining area, I believe, we have the single family, the 100-year flood mark coming through with certain types of fill that brought some of these lots back out, and also established a higher level for the detention area that will be located in outlot H. You do have other outlots too to help divide out that 100-year floodplain and floodway, and then you have elevations marked throughout all these lots right here indicating where that lowest built level is, where that 100-year flood mark is, or I should say 2 feet above that base level where that house can be placed. The remaining lots up here did not need that type of requirement for that lowest built elevation. There are 24 lots in all, And staff, in reviewing this proposal, has rectified the curve issue here and also the elevation issue with the outlot. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report.
Thanks, Greg. John, anything else from staff on this matter?
Do you want to go first?
I was just going to kind of echo what Greg said there. From an engineering perspective on item three with the stormwater detention, they did raise that basin so that the bottom is above the 100-year. And then on item six with curve number three there, we have a subdivision ordinance that's probably a little outdated as far as the curves, and are looking to, I guess, make changes to that probably in the winter months here coming up, and probably follow the SUDAS guidelines a little more closely. We are making a less stringent curve requirement on this, but it's in line with some of the changes we've made with other subdivisions. We've worked with the developer on that and are okay with this.
Okay, great. Appreciate that. All right, anyone in the commission?
Mr. Chairman, if I may as well, just to expand on Greg's discussions about the flood zone, the engineer for this project has secured a conditional letter of map revision from FEMA for all of the lots that are affected by the flood zone. What that procedure entails is that FEMA has looked at the plans for this development, and based on the plans that they have submitted to them, they're telling them that if you do what you have shown us you're going to do, and when you're done, you certify it, the engineer certifies that you do what you have done, those lots will be removed from the flood zone. So FEMA has already given us a preliminary examination and feel comfortable with this proceeding with Phil at this time.
Will that revised line, or how will that be reflected in the
record? It doesn't, then? You know, they call it a letter of map revision. It doesn't really change the map, but it is the documentation that tells everyone these homes are officially not in the flood zone.
Yeah, okay. Great, thanks. All right, now, anyone in the commission with regard to this change? Okay, out to the audience. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Yes, sir. Please. Yep.
Thank you. This is Harvey Q. I'm the next door neighbor from this map. I'm to the bottom of the...
to the west there? Down
yeah,
the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So unfortunately, my house is in this flood zone. For this property development, I have two concerns. One is, right, you can see that, yep. So the privacy concern along the property line, that's one thing I want the developer to consider. The other is the alter of the landscape. There's a small creek running at the backyard of my property. I think it's called a Fieldsike, a creek. It's very small, but a kind of a flood every single year, like twice a year. A flood, majority of my backyard, some portion of the property we are talking about. I would say that this probably relate to this development, but it has something to do with other development, upstream and downstream. So we have more roof, more driveway and road, meaning more runoff water. And I see that impact at the creek. That's one of the reason that we see the flood issue in my backyard. I know my responsibility, but I'm here to maybe ask city to help how to address the issue, because I'm the unfortunate owner of that property. I didn't realize 5 years ago that what situation I'm going to be in when I bought it. But that's one concern relating to this development, to address the flood issue in my backyard. Either do something, make it wider. I think that will reduce the risk.
Okay, thank you. Brian, can you address that, please?
Yeah, on the flooding issue, all I could tell you is that stormwater detention is required for this project. The grading and such is shows that it'll be picked up by the detention area, so there shouldn't be, although there's a, you know, an increase in impervious area, which is the roofs and the road and that type of thing, that's picked up by the storm sewer and grading in the rear yards and will be deposited in that detention structure and released at a slower rate. So that property will be picked up, or the majority of it would be picked up with the detention area, and that's the idea behind it.
Okay. But I think that's probably why I'm talking to the city officials.
Sure.
I can tell that lots of stuff coming in that creek. You have construction kind of material, household garbage, plastic containers, corrugated box, everything. So a stock over in the small creek over there, and they surrender. Hard, there's no way they can run that fast, the water. Basically, from you can see the few side street drive over there, the water is just a kind of start from there, expand to my backyard.
Okay, I can just tell you by, as far as the garbage issue and if it's relating to the current developer, we do require building permits, and we have inspectors that, you know, can go out and take a look at that and making sure that they're keeping a clean site. We also have an erosion control permit that does require it. There's a good housekeeping requirement that addresses that as well. And, you know, we can, if there's a complaint or something like that at that time, certainly bring that to our attention and we can address that. As far as the detention, I covered that, and I can tell you that they're meeting the requirements of our ordinance from that standpoint.
Brian, can you talk about one thing he had brought up to was some kind of screening, but it's new residential site privacy, you said you had raised as well. You had a question about, and just what's required rather in the rear of residential or not.
Buffering?
There's no buffering required.
No, there'd be no buffering required.
Because it's R3, single-family and two-family housing. And in our landscape ordinance, we don't have any requirement to buffer that out, unlike this area here, which the agreement was reached, and you have different types of zoning. They're far more intense, an agreement between these property owners here. And over here was agreed to back in 2006, I believe it was, about maintaining a buffer, but that again, you had an R5 going in here, and these people here are A2, so you're seeing in the landscape ordinance a requirement for that buffering.
Right. But there is none, Harvey, for the area adjoining you to the east, as you're abutting residential to residential, there's no requirement for the developer to put any kind of screening or buffering in there other than what the individual homeowner would choose to do.
I would simply add, from the flood zone standpoint, I can almost be assured that the builder is going to build these residences at the front setback as close to the street as possible, because they're going to want to get these structures as far away from that flood zone, which is adjacent to you. So they'll be bringing those structures, although those are fairly large and nice long lots, I know that they're going to build the house as close to the street as possible, and that would maximize the separation from you. And the flood zone's almost going to dictate that.
Yeah.
They don't want to, sorry to say it this way, have to deal with the same issues you're dealing with the flood zone, and they want to keep the structures as far away as possible.
Okay. Any further comment here?
Yeah, because I asked the question about the field site creek. I think maybe it's a follow-up who I need to talk to in the city that how to address the issue, because really causing the backyard flooding situation every single year.
Ryan is going to raise his hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how to answer that other than to say that, you know, wherever we have development in the city, we have to follow a detention requirement. And there's no subdivision that's not required to do that. I guess I'd leave it at that.
And I can just also say, you know, these issues with stormwater, for this particular development, as Brian alluded to and indicated, that's addressed for this development, but these issues are issues that affect several people, many people in the community, and so we are looking at a policy on addressing this. It's not going to be perfect because it's a difficult issue, but you're welcome to call me. I can tell you when we're going to be having some additional meetings and work sessions, trying to address this issue citywide. So it's not an easy issue, but you feel free to contact me and we can talk about it.
And that issue, Chris, is
it's just the issue of creeks and flooding and Stafford Creek and all of those things, stormwater in general. You know, so feel free to contact me.
And if there's particular issues relative to debris and things that are clogging it up in that, talk to code enforcement and sure. Engineering, and they can look into see if there's issues in the creek getting clogged up.
Yeah, I mean, the creek stabilization issues are one that they affect many creeks in the city, and there's every situation is a little different depending on does the city have any easement on that creek? Is it on public property, private property? Each one is a little different, which is why there's no one-size-fits-all solution. So feel free to contact me. I don't really know this particular creek very well and the specifics of it, but we can find out.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your comment. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question relating to this and other developments. Right now, there's a number of lots that are in the 100-year floodplain, and then the replat shows them out. Are they going to bring fill in to raise those lots up?
That's my understanding.
Yes, there will be fill put in.
So my question is, they're actually, you know, filling in the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
Does that impact that floodplain significantly enough that it would, you know, make matters worse for?
In this particular case, there are two documents that the engineer was required to file. The first was a flood zone development permit for that very issue, and it states that what they are doing does not adversely impact people upstream or downstream. Your point is well taken. If you put another drop in the bucket, you have affected it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a level of tolerance that's allowed by ordinance, and it's allowed by FEMA. And then that second review that was done for the conditional letter of map revision, that was also looked at by FEMA, and that's one of the main issues. And they didn't really have to do that. They could have just built these so that the lowest occupiable floor level was 2 feet above the base flood elevation. But Greg, if you'd go back to the graphic that shows the flood zone in relationship to this, it just appeared to be a significant enough area that we felt comfortable with getting that extra level of review by FEMA.
All right, thank you, John. That's helpful.
Okay, anyone else? All right, I'd entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-059, the replat of the Cottage Grove First Edition as submitted.
I'll second.
Great, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18059, Cottage Grove First Edition replat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18059 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case involves the settlement here that we have for a brownstone project, or what are townhouses, on this lot. Right now we have a Starbucks going in at this locale. This lot has been rezoned to an R5 designation, and essentially we're looking at lot one in the AAA Office Park 4th edition, which has been split off with access easements, though, to allow circulation on these two lots, even though the uses are different. What you have are seven units on three different stories of structure. And at the garden level, there is a basically an apartment here that's of a smaller size with a garage in the back of each of these. The larger size apartments are on the second and third levels of this structure, and there are 21 units in all. They meet all the requirements for the parking, given the size of the units and the likelihood of automobile ownership. We certainly don't want to make for a larger capacity of more surface area here when there is not the need. Entry can be made here off of Palmer Hills Court, and then you have the right in and right out means of connecting through the Starbucks lot as well. This is the way that these townhouses will look, and here's your essentially your second floor, your first floor, and then the garden level below. And this is the back side right here showing the entries for garages for single car access. All of the landscape requirements as we had them listed were met in a very large manner. They have met the tree count probably two times to three times over what was necessary for the site, so we're not concerned about that. But staff would also indicate on the overhead that there will be the circulation, this being the office supply store, this being future commercial, and that you do have extra circulation throughout this area here to the Hy-Vee area over here, and that there are many different openings. So there's just not one means of getting to this site. We have different means of gaining access in and out through the circulation to get to these townhouses. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Again, John and staff, any other updates?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Questions from the commission?
So if there's 21 units and there's parking garages, are there 21 spaces for parking inside the structure?
You have seven spaces inside the structure. You have a total of 32 spaces for the entire site. So not everything will be covered. You'll have one parking space for one particular unit within the structure. The remaining parking will be outside.
So these are 21 single family units, and you've got 32 parking spaces.
And the size of the, we looked at that, we ran the calcs, and given the garden size is only 400 square feet, we're pretty much looking at one automobile for that type size. And then we ran the calcs as well using the ordinance, and essentially you're looking at the necessary number of spaces, because not too many units are usually only 400 square feet, so we only assign one space per that. We use the ordinance as regular for the other units, though, that were within here, and it met those requirements.
I understand. I'm skeptical that that's enough parking. I mean, I think you got to count on two cars per unit, and that's 42 spaces, and you got 34, and so it's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. If I'm being frank, which I am.
Well, people will just go and park elsewhere. They'll be, you know, like you said, if they won't stay in their appropriate parking area. They'll be in Starbucks or they'll be in Bettendorf Office Products.
Starbucks people complaining and Bettendorf Office Products and Hy-Vee complaining that people that are living in those units are parking in their areas.
Yep.
But when you look at the ordinance itself, it's when we get above the 800 square foot standard that the two spaces are required, and the unit sizes within this did not necessitate in many instances getting to that two times level. That's when you get into the multiple of double the number of spaces necessary, is when you get into 800 square feet. The majority of these units are below that threshold. They're about 1.5 spaces. And when you come down to 400 square feet and you're requiring two spaces for 800 or plus, it's almost like, okay, how much surfacing do we want for this when you get down to 400 square feet for a living or dwelling unit? That's how we approach this.
I understand, Greg, but there's basically no parking for guests. I mean, if three people have guests over, and I mean, where's everybody going to park?
You get to 35. There's only
35. You got. That's what we run into with every time when we have the parking ordinance try to implement it, because it's not really based on ever guest parking in residential. It's always based on the square footage of the unit.
I share your concern. I come to 35 minimum, in that looking at, okay, the efficiencies are one, that's seven, and then you need two for each of the other. That's 35, not 31 space.
I don't know if all the units though are 800 square feet though.
You can't have a half a car. That's the way I'm looking at it. I understand
that's the
where
way
you're coming
calculate
from.
It in the ordinance. I can't change the ordinance.
I'm sharing Jeff's vision of this. You can't have half a car.
I think you're telling us you would like us to look at the ordinance.
Possibly, yeah.
Or just consider logic.
Yeah, and we've seen that same situation over behind Fairway over there, where they park in the street all the time because there's not sufficient parking over there. But I recognize the dilemma. Is this, as represented and presented, I'll say it that way, meets the current parking ordinance? Am I correct in that?
Yes.
So it meets it.
It's a regulatory review, but I'm hearing you loud and clear. You'd like us to look at that section of our ordinance to perhaps modernize it to the number of vehicles you would expect people to use today.
It's just the reality of it, I think. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
take a draw on Super Bowl Sunday. You hope half the people have gone, so the other half that are still there can have friends over. You know, it becomes a marketing challenge, I think, frankly, for the developer and the landlord here to say, okay, he's got to sell to his tenants the concept that they've got sufficient parking. And if the practical side is that nobody can get a parking place, all of a sudden it becomes an undesirable place to live. And I agree with you guys, it doesn't look like enough on the surface, and we would probably like to put that on the agenda as far as a future follow-up item. And personally, also look at the number of handicap required with the gentrifying population. I think we're way under that. As I have an elderly mother trying to get handicap parking all the time, it's never there. So just a couple of editorials there.
And at least in this case, you've got Hy-Vee parking lot or that whole area over there where they can overflow, can go. But it is something we need to take a look at.
Absolutely.
To go. I think they'd end up in Bettendorf Office Products.
True.
The closest. And actually, another concern of mine would be if we're moving on or not. You want to go first, Kevin?
Kevin would love to talk.
Finish your thought, Janice, and then we'll turn it open to the developer.
What's your other concern?
Okay.
You're early in the agenda.
Yeah, you're not last tonight, by the way.
Other concern is about traffic flow. You'd mentioned traffic, you know, can come in the right in, right out, also through Parma Hills Court, and then you also mentioned like through Bettendorf Office Products and down through the Hy-Vee parking lot. And in my opinion, trying to turn into that Hy-Vee parking lot right there is already a dangerous, really dangerous place to try to go. And if you have people coming out from right there when you're trying to go in from right there, that's really going to be even more dangerous than it already is. Do you know, am I making myself clear on the intersection that mm-hmm. I'm discussing? Okay.
Can you just pencil in with your marker there, Greg, the anticipated rotation while you got it on the aerial there?
Mean by rotation?
Vehicle rotation, sorry. How the cars will flow, vehicle
right
flow.
In.
Show the right in, the right out.
Right here, and then connecting to here, and then you have an access here, and I believe here.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, this is, I believe, three. You have an entry, and then you have two ways out already. So it would basically cycle potentially like this. I mean, if you're looking at the whole thing, and then yeah, right in, right out, and full access right here.
And AAA Court is a signalized intersection with Middle Road. That will be the desirable location for them to go out if they're turning left.
Want to shed a developer perspective on that for us then?
So I'm okay tabling it and taking a look at our unit count, where this isn't schedule critical for us right now. So, and I'm okay doing that. So we can table tonight and we'll take a look at our unit count and maybe we'll take out a stack of units. Last time, or on the rezoning, we actually had a building that was a story taller and there was a concern about how tall the building would be. So we actually took a story out. That floor was two bedroom units and we changed over to single bedroom units. So we can take a look at it one more time in that regard. As far as the access points, it was actually going back, it was a staff recommendation that, and we owned and sold the lot to Giefman that he already had a site plan approved on that has that connection point. But that was staff recommended to have that connection to the Hy-Vee parking lot. And for the reason of getting to the controlled intersection at AAA Court. So we can't go back on that. And but I will look at our unit count and the parking because we have time to do that.
I think that's a great idea.
Are these all one bedroom units?
Yeah, they're all one bedroom and it'll be rental.
I guess just one comment I'd make. I'm looking at the parking issue and I'm just looking at a site plan right now, but there may be an opportunity as well, even if the units stay the same, to maybe add some parking along the front there. It looks like there's some open green space there, and I'm sure the detention would more than account for additional impervious areas, so that might be another option.
Okay, another vote for a relook.
And I'm not against, I think it's great that this area is finally being developed. I just, the way it's getting developed, it's going to be fairly dense, and then we're going to have entrances and exits going out and people driving through parking lots, and it just, I mean, I think part of our job is to try to solve as many of these problems as we can anticipate before money gets spent and problems get created and then the city ends up fielding.
Are you putting decks
from
on
citizens
these?
After
sorry.
Words.
Are there decks on these?
Yeah, small ones off the back.
Out the back? Maybe you could push the building forward and put more back parking out of the drive area.
So would someone like to make a motion to table this?
I'll move that we table this proposal.
Second.
Case number 18-044.
I don't think you want
to
table it. I think you want to defer it.
Defer.
Defer.
Defer. Defer. All right, better word. All right, we have a motion and a second to defer case 18-044 for further discussion around the parking. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. 18-044 is deferred. Okay, Greg?
The next case, Mr. Chairman, involves a manufacturing location. And we have a 3900 address right here, Elm Street, which come down 42nd, make that connection. also 35th. And essentially what you're looking at is the location for the new Greystone Plastics reconstruction, if you will. Studeman subdivision lot one is essentially what you're looking at that got platted for this locale. This is the building, and I will be putting on the overhead here in a sec a revision of what you have. This is what you currently have, showing the overhead electrical fire hydrant here. There's an existing one up here, but this one is going to be put in as what was required actually back during a site plan in 1995 when another addition was built onto this structure. You're going to have out here water purification, or I should say water purification up here, and then you have parking for the site here. I'll go to the overhead and then you'll see the revisions. What has been added is a fire lane, and there'll be a requirement to obtain an easement to come in here, but within the fire code, the requirement for being within certain number of feet around the structure needed to be met, and there needed to be an access for turnaround and then access for the fire truck to basically empty or leave the site. Another thing we want to point out is that we want the dumpster here that is shown, which may not have been shown on your plan, to be removed to another locale. We thought maybe that the dumpster would have been located more in the interior of the structure where it could be moved out. But the big aspect to this is that we wanted to make sure that we did have the fire safety issue here, at least for access, addressed, and there are some other issues that are going to be addressed prior to certain consideration down the road of this site plan that will deal with the interior of the structure, and that's also going to be handled too at the construction plan level. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg, and it sounds like we got the updates, John, on, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, to the commission, any questions or comments from the commission, please? Greg, is there a truck dock there now? Is that how materials flow? Do they back in with a truck dock? Is that on the west side of it there?
Right there. I don't know if the petitioners or their engineers here, I think that there might be.
Hi, Chris Townsend, Townsend Engineering, representing Greystone Manufacturing, our client who is not here tonight. And then we have the contractor, Jeff Kaczynski with GCI, if you have any questions about the build-out. There is one or two docks, right, Jeff, on the west side existing. This whole project, just to kind of get you up on some history, Greystone looked at this building prior, with the city actually, prior to purchasing it, just to do some due diligence, hired a different engineering company who essentially condemned that east side of that building. So they are tearing down an existing building and just replacing it on the existing foundation, just to bring up to speed on that, try to make this a nicer, usable property.
And so today, will the trucks come in off of Elm Street and then back in and product flow? Is that how that would work then?
Right, and they use forklifts, fork trucks to lift these boxes of basically plastic onto flatbed trucks is how they do it.
Okay. And then, Greg, could you clarify the dumpster discussion? I wasn't sure if I'm clear on where it's going to end up.
There's a dumpster that was shown, I believe, up in this area out in the front portion.
Yep.
Of the site, and we would prefer that be enclosed and maybe perhaps placed, I thought, maybe within the location of the structure itself, or maybe in an area where it's less conspicuous and screened as well.
Right, and that's our last discussion, was to have it on the west side of the building, as long as it didn't interfere with that new fire line.
Yeah. Okay. And no water detention requirements because it's already impervious?
Actually, that would be correct. There aren't any on this, and Greg wasn't aware of this, but from the water quality standpoint, engineering is waiving that on this site just due to the fact that there's no storm sewer at that location on Elm Street, and the ditches are very shallow. The petitioner's engineer has worked with us on that and looking at different options, and they're just not feasible for this site, so we have waived that as of today. So Greg wasn't aware of that, but just for clarification.
Okay. Others in the commission? Oh, out to the audience. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that we approve case number 18-063. Subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18063, subject to staff recommendations and updates. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18063 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case that we have involves an area where we've already seen two different projects undertaken. In this photo, you can see that the area is greatly inundated by the 100-year floodplain. And this aerial photo shows that one of the structures that's built, there was another one that was constructed over here, and this is sort of the third iteration. The first site plan that came to you showed a structure right here, in which the petitioner tonight is asking to add an addition onto the back of the structure. There was a proposed building here that's shown that later came to you in this plan. And as you see, we have the floodway limits delineated, indicating where that floodway is in relation to this site. Floodplain is here, and the petitioner would like to add this structure so that there will be a floor that will be equal in height to this existing floor, and anything underneath it will have to adhere to the same standards for a pass-through with certain vents that are required to allow the water during a 100-year event to go underneath this structure and exit. I think we listed in the report that there were some other things as well, and they're going to have to be addressed at another level with the Iowa DNR. Staff, in looking at this particular proposal, was supportive of what is here as long as it will comply with all of the standards that would be required for this particular location. And in reviewing this, we support this addition. We would ask, are there any questions?
Updates from staff since Greg's delivery? Nope. Okay. Questions from the commission, please.
Could I ask a question about parking?
You know, where might that be?
Where might that be, yes. I'm assuming this is going to require extra parking.
The parking, excluding this area here, meets the standards because extra spaces were striped in this area that had not been used before for parking. So he meets those standards with this addition here. Now, the parking that might be up there when people see that it's occupied, in terms of the ordinance, again, the standards are met. There may be some attraction up there that might be drawing more people to this site than what we require for parking, but we did go over that to make sure that the standards were met for this building addition, that it met a retail standard, and he's adding and striping these spaces in here that were not there prior. We did also consider that the parking removed from this area here was added in that equation so that we understand the pluses and minuses of the parking, that you're adding more need for parking, but you're subtracting these spaces out, and he meets the standards. We are not counting any of this area right here. This is all excluded from any parking total.
if I could expand on that, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just, before I get this straight, what you're saying is that he is taking existing paving, adding striping to create more spaces.
Yes, to designate those as parking when they weren't before.
That would take up provide enough parking for this addition.
Yes.
Considering the fact that he's taking out some because he's, okay. I guess my question would be, how come when I go there, you have a tough time finding a parking space?
Like I said, there's an attraction there.
Well, I mean, yes.
I won't elaborate,
okay.
But.
I agree, but in light of that attraction, whatever that attraction might be, shouldn't we take that into account when we look at these? I mean, isn't...
I would like assuming, to see the ordinance
I'm assuming
where I
it
could
is,
do
I'm
that,
assuming that the man or the person who is developing this new addition also developed the other ones. Mm-hmm. So it's all one person who we're dealing with, all one entity that we're dealing mm-hmm. with here. So then that one entity has to provide enough parking for the entire development.
And he has by ordinance.
By ordinance, but not by physical...
And again, I would like to have
well,
the
then I think we have to step back and
power.
Say what can we do to rectify that situation.
And I would agree with that. And if I may, I think in these quasi-judicial decisions such as this, such as a replat as opposed to a rezoning situation, the critical consideration is whether it meets the ordinance. So I just want to throw that out there. I know that there are things that we see are sort of common sense that we want to throw in there, but the quantifiable decision is whether it meets the ordinance.
What's the proposed use for the new building?
It's an addition to this nail salon, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So or a salon space or what?
So the access would still be from
It'll
the
be
front
the
of the building.
Be the same thing, yeah.
So, and I know John's got something to say over there too, but. I'm looking here, Greg, and it says floodway limits, and this is the existing paving, not proposed, up on the
mm-hmm.
north. Well, yeah, it is the north end of that.
And it was somehow the paving was not shown at all in the
That's where
site
I'm going.
Plan for that structure, and John can elaborate on the situation.
So, and pause that thought for just a second. So, to Paul's another... Pause squared. Another concern is Paul's already noting that something over there creates an attraction and it's hard to find parking, and there's already a large number of spaces that I'm guessing shouldn't be there to accommodate the parking. That's not enough.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. John.
That's what I was very reluctant to inform you about.
Well, I read the packet.
We received this new site plan. You can see that line on there. At that point, the city was put on notice that there has been a violation
okay.
of an intrusion into the floodway. As such, we have an administrative enforcement obligation to begin the procedure now that we know that there's a violation in the floodway okay. and that is being done
Your
along
Honor.
With the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Paul, to your point and to everybody else here, there is a distinct possibility that existing parking is going to be required to be removed
yeah.
because it is not approved to be in a floodway. I have had discussions with tenants of these buildings. I've had discussions with the owner of this property and have warned them repeatedly about not doing anything in this area. This whole area is in a flood zone without the appropriate paperwork filed with me and with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. There seems to be a problem in this regard.
Apparently.
And now I'm beginning an enforcement procedure.
Okay. Because we've all seen recently with all the flooding events around America that a large flow of water takes everything in its course, including all this paving and everything else it's going to send down.
We never saw a plan on it. Greg, would you go back to the original plan? That's what we approved.
Yeah.
It didn't approve anything that you're seeing down there today.
Has the enforcement procedure already begun?
Yes.
So how is there anything?
I don't have the answer as to what's going to be required. That's being researched at this point.
I understand, but my question maybe for Chris is, and this is a unique situation, but you've got an applicant that's coming asking for a site development plan on a site that he's already violated a prior site development plan on, and he's got a pending problem with enforcement. So I don't know that, I mean, I think on that basis, we could say we're not gonna consider this or we're gonna deny it, because I don't see how I can vote to approve a site development plan on a site that's already out of compliance.
And might I add a little bit more? He's already demonstrated that he doesn't have enough room, and he wants to add more. To me, I'd say either we deny it or we defer it until all of this has been rectified.
And then, Chris, your point.
Well, I think that my point goes to just in general on the types of decisions. But I think certainly in this situation, there's a unique aspect to it. I mean, we're talking about parking. We see that there's parking that's not in compliance with city code and with FEMA rules and others. So I think that the two, I certainly, there are major issues here. So whether there's a deferral or whatever the commission may decide, I think that there are issues that need to be worked out. And I, you know, that process has begun, but it's not complete. But I think that you would be wise to proceed with caution and to take into consideration the fact that a big chunk of this parking is not in compliance.
Is the applicant's not here? Is that true? The applicant?
He is not. He has a representative in the form of the engineer.
Okay.
So just for clarity then too, John.
who I can tell is enthusiastic about getting up here.
So non-conforming or not to code, so this was put in like in cloak of darkness with no permit or anything. We have no idea what's in the base or 2 inches or 6 inches or nothing of, wow.
Well, we would not review and permit flat work on ground as long as it was, you know, put in legally. Mm-hmm. This wasn't.
So clarify for me, is the applicant the owner of the entire property?
Yes.
So they are one and the same. Okay.
You've been very patient back there, so why don't we recognize you and state your name and your interest in this case. Are you guys all together, or?
Well, we're all, yes, independently all together. So
you're all welcome to speak, but you go.
Represent you the other three businesses that aren't his wife.
Okay.
So I'm Lori Sullivan. I am the owner of Nutrition Works Holistic Health, and I occupy the space that is right there where that track one is, about one third of that.
Okay.
And so I lease that space. And on a daily basis, just from a practical consideration, not even including all these other issues that I'm seeing, that parking lot is a nightmare. And it's congested. It's dangerous. People come in around Kimberly Road and turn and try to go out. I myself have almost gotten hit by an oncoming car coming there. I mean, that's the driver's fault, but it's just even the access to that area is not good. I have parking spaces for my business, which is pretty well adequate for my business, except that there are so many people there that we all experience the fact that there's never enough parking. We all have people parking in our spots. We're apologizing for having to park somewhere. It is just not good. And if we have another addition built onto the back of DQ, which is going to take away, like right now there's some staff and employees that park there, where are they going to park? Now, They're going to take up some more parking spaces.
Closer
and it just
to you.
Cannot handle another like business addition for more people there. We're already struggling with and trying to make it work for everybody as it is. And if we have more people coming in, it's not going to be a good thing at all. And we're not happy about it. You know, I did not lease this space to have struggles for my tenants, or not my tenants, but my customers. And I would appreciate it if you all could take that into consideration.
Thank you for your comments. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Brian, owner of Treehouse Pub and Eatery. It's been an amazing place that we put together. Spent the farm to put this place together. Spent a full year inside this. And it's just been a great asset to Bettendorf. People just love this place. We don't have parking there at all. I mean, there's people leaving because we have no parking. Now, they're closed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We take up all the parking there. People, we have the space for them. We have a 96 capacity indoors, and then we open that upper and lower deck. So there's another probably 180 people there. And it's just been a parking nightmare. I have to run out, you know, and tell people where they can park. He's got these signs posted everywhere, and they're closed on Friday. I mean, I think, and on top where Hong Lee is at the DQ, he never fills that spot up. They're not ever filled. He has 19 spots up top. We have 12. And we have twice the seating capacity that they have. Any loss of parking for us, I mean, we're out of business. I employ 40 people there. And everybody loves going there. But if we lose any parking, we can't do it. I can't make it, you know. So it's just the way it is. And we're all concerned about it because we and I have semis. I have four semi loads of food coming every week. He has to park down there because there's nowhere for him to park. And he has to cart all the food up.
What time of the day is it set deliveries every week? Do you know when they're coming?
Yeah, they come Saturday morning, a Monday, and sometimes they get there when they can. Sometimes it's parking lots full.
So sometimes during business hours as well.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, any parking lots here, we'd be done. I mean, the business would have to close. And I like to keep 40 people working hard and keep serving the community what we're doing. But parking is an issue. We had four ladies that fell going up that hill. Mm-hmm. Older ladies. I had to call the hospital a few times, you know, four times. But I try to get them, the older people parked up top where DQ Nails, they've got 19 spots up front. And they go right to he's got them all right to at the front of your door. Mm-hmm. And they're all marked for DQ Nails. So
I understand, your 12 spaces are your designated ones, and after that it's open parking?
Down below, yes. Down below it is.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, not enough as it is. 'Cause I see people leaving a lot because there's the older ladies, and I have a little shuttle car that I got to shuttle the elderly people up to the treehouse, and takes up a lot of my time when I see people struggling to look for a place to park.
Yeah.
So that spot where he's putting that building, I mean, they're closed on Sunday. I mean, it's full Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Even a Monday could be full, and people just leave because there's no parking.
Well, Brian, appreciate your comments. You're close to it there. And in this case, it's very concerning because we're losing parking that shouldn't even exist, potentially, depending on what the DNR says, and moving some over. So appreciate your comments.
Okay, thank you.
Did you have any further comments then, too? You got a chance to, sure.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Penny Ainsley. I'm at Country Financial. I am the third of the four businesses, the three that are not part of being married to Han. And Han, there's a huge issue with parking. But besides that, we've also asked him to, I know I've asked him to shave down the entrance into the parking lot. There's a huge dip that, I mean, it will rocket your car train if you ever try to get out on Kimberly. And if you've ever went to Treehouse or any of the businesses here, you know what I'm talking about. My car, I've got a little spider, and it will take off the front end about. So I will generally wait for a very long time. But I have patience. It's a virtue. But the parking lot situation is horrendous. If he adds on to his wife's business, they will sweep on and they will take off more of it. And nobody's going to – there are so many accidents that almost happen consistently. I know for a fact that we had one of our insureds actually get an accident in front of the road because of people trained to come in there. So it's way too much. And if they take over more of the parking even, it's going to get worse because he's going to assign more of the parking to his wife. I don't know why he didn't just – my office is actually right next to – it's attached to the DQ. So I don't even know why they didn't – it was Kaylee Nails, which was Han's daughter's business, but she's 13, so she can't legally have one. So she's got it under – he's got it under his name instead. Yeah, I know everybody's business. But he's got it set up that way. But instead of taking over the whole building for her, he rented it out, but now he doesn't do anything. But we've got this mangled, like, spotlight out front that was sparking, and I've got video of it, like, flashing all these, like, yeah, for, like, a month, I guess. I turned around, and I called him up. He can't even call back to say anything. It's turned in like it's like a train wreck. I'm so disappointed. It's such a pretty office. I mean, you look out back, there's a pond and everything, but when you pay attention to parking, it's like pull your kids back, hold on to, you know, your loved ones, because people whip around there and everything else. And I know we can't control people too, but we can't have even more parking going towards there than we've already got. And he owns a ton of properties. If he wants her to have a bigger building, she can go somewhere else then. This is just crazy. It's a safety issue, and that concerns me.
All right. Appreciate your feedback and comments. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience?
Chris Townsend Engineering. You know, I think we've got a similar situation you guys have been talking about all night, really, with this parking ordinance. I mean, if you think about that building, the bar building, they take up 3,200 square feet. According to the ordinance, that's 32 parking spaces. So what I'm hearing, and I go there a lot, so I like that jalapeno appetizer thing, obviously. But, you know, and I think there's multiple problems with parking, and I see it everywhere I own buildings. Part of it is people don't want to, they're lazy, they don't want to walk. So there's spaces, you know, a lot of times. I'm not saying always. You know, so there's a lot of issues, and I don't know what we do. I think we table this tonight and we do a little investigation. I mean, really, I think according to the ordinance, this thing passes. You know, but there's also other things. 3,200 square foot restaurant, but there's two decks that he talked about. I mean, if you have 180 people in there, you know, that's, and we do it, we'll come from a baseball game. Both my wife and I will drive two cars and meet there, and, you know, I mean, this is just how life is. So I don't know how you fix that tonight or fix your ordinance, but, you know, we can look at that and see how we can make this work and talk to Hong and see if there's a way to sounds like there's all kinds of issues other than parking going on here. Maybe we could re-sign some things and do some things that would help the whole situation, help the flow of parking there. I don't know how we can't get any more parking. There's just no way. So
parking garage.
Yeah, I mean there's room underneath. There is actually. Yeah. So anyway, so I recommend. I guess you know you guys already talked about it, but recommend tabling it for tonight.
I don't see how we can address it until the existing violation has been addressed and resolved.
Right, and that's been, you know, we've submitted.
What these folks are saying. I mean, I don't see how you how we can address a request for this request until that existing violation is resolved. If I were one of the tenants, I would want that resolved because I need to know if I'm running a business if that parking's available. And if it's not going to be available, I don't see how
we're out of business if that happens.
I don't see how we can address the request.
Yeah, we did send in some information to John already, and he's working on that. I mean, there was a house in the floodway. There was an existing parking lot in the floodway. You know, this floodway is kind of interesting anyway, that, you know, that dam or the bridge acts as a dam as it is. I mean, it's obviously that creek gets going, but it's not exactly what they're showing on paper, which is common. We see it all the time with these flood zones and everything. Yeah. So, but I agree, and I think that's why we just table it and come back next time if we can figure it out.
Okay. Chairman, I'll move we defer this case until all of these issues get resolved with the DNR and there's a chance to look at this parking, perhaps the flow of the parking, additional parking, et cetera.
I second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to defer case 18064, site development plan, until the violation and other matters relative to parking can be further resolved and or discussed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18064 is deferred. Okay. And I think, John, that brings us to you.
Last night, the City Council approved the land use change and rezoning for the Springs at Bettendorf addition. The council had the exact same concerns about density for this development that the commission had, and as a result made the rezoning conditional to limit it to only 32 residential units divided any way that the developer mm-hmm. decides to do in the future, whether there's a split of 20 apartment units and 14 townhouses or whatever split they want. The council said we don't care, as long as the amount doesn't go above 34 units, and the developer agreed to that. Preliminary plat for Pigeon Creek 9th edition and the rezoning for that was approved. They approved the site plan for 3592 Middle Road. You'll recall that's the Dunkin' Donuts restaurant. We've been working with them since April to try to get those outstanding issues resolved, and they finally have been. The shared stormwater detention that you wanted to see, that agreement has been signed. The shared access behind it, there's a license agreement that has been signed, and the easement to ensure that the sanitary sewer flows over to the next lot for future development, that Good. Was finally accomplished. So that was a long process. At the July 2nd, the rezoning for Mr. Kellner's project that you just tabled here this evening, Palmer Hills Court, deferred this evening, that rezoning occurred. They also approved the final plat for Terrell's first edition. As you'll recall, that's down by Harbor Drive area. They approved the final plat for Utica Hills Point and the site plan for the Home 2 Suites at that development, and the groundbreaking for that took place yesterday.
I saw it in the paper today. Didn't waste any time getting to it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow, a lot's going on.
I believe they have some solid plans to develop the rest of it already.
Great. All right, thank you for that update, John. Anything else for the good of the order?
I would just like to make a comment. When we start talking about parking, I agree that we need to have a rational approach to this, not just based on square footage, but we also want to take into account the fact that a lot of times we have parking that isn't used. We're requiring extra spaces, and it's going in at an expense, not just for the developer, but also in terms of the environment. So we have to be cautious about the...
It's going to be a delicate balancing act when we start looking at it, but I think we should look at it.
Yes, definitely. Case in points tonight.
Yes, sir.
We need to look at what we're dealing with here. Here's an area where there was never going to be any more than what originally was put there. So as soon as you throw a restaurant business in there, that pretty much should limit anything else from going in.
Yep,
I don't know how you do that in an ordinance.
One of the busiest commercial places we have is Duck Creek Plaza. Perhaps the busiest place there is Home Depot, and you almost never see that all utilized, and that's causing impervious surface, stormwater runoff. Right. It's going to be a sticky issue, but I think it's worth looking at.
Yep. Maybe we can shuttle people from Duck
or Bodum.
Brian, Kimberly,
valet parking, but I don't know where they're going to go.
Kayak down the street.
Well, it's great problems to have from a business standpoint, but it's a horrible problem they have. I mean, I heard him say that they could be effectively out of business if they can't utilize sufficient parking. So that's an important thing to talk about. So,
especially if a restaurant's going to go in a strip center, I mean. Yeah, somehow we need to. That's the big identity right there.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if DQ wasn't closed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Mm-hmm.
Well,
how much of a hot mess it would be.
How many fights would you have?
I mean, that's gotta help.
Yeah. Well, I think another problem, if his business is signed for his business, then he's not meeting parking ordinance.
Cross easement, some things like that.
Well, but they're signed for his business, like his clients only. Then he's taken that out of the
availability.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this one works through.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Thank you all.
Yes, with that, last call.
Thank you.